Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the hearing of your word brings light and life. Your word is life. And so we open up our hearts and our minds right now to receive your word. Anoint your word. Change us by the power of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen and amen. Wow. We're only a few days away from Christmas, and Pastor Julius has gotten us started. But will you help me turn to three people around you, tell them, Merry, 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 Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's a wonderful time. We get together as friends and family to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And I know that you're already beginning to prepare. You have plans for this Christmas. And we're praying for you as a family that this will be a memorable time for you. But I know that as we approach Christmas, for some of us, it's been a difficult year. As we approach Christmas, we have questions in our hearts. Lord, how is it going to be for me and my family? Maybe there's challenges at work, at home, in your career, maybe challenges in your faith. But I want you to know, regardless of what you're going through this Christmas, God has a word for you. And it is captured in our theme text. It's going to be a theme text throughout this season. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. This is what the Bible says. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Friends, our theme this entire Christmas season is a light has dawned. You know, light is so powerful. Just think about your home. When the lights are off, we struggle to find our way around. In Uganda, we have a phrase and we say it is falling into the cups. That's a loose translation that tells us about the chaos that happens when people are trying to find their way in the dark. But you and I both know that in some of our communities, after certain hours in the evening, people cannot move around freely because evil thrives in the dark. As we studied science in school, I think something that became so clear to every single one of us is for human beings, for plants and animals, we need sunlight to thrive. It is so critical to the quality of life that we experience. I came across a study. It's an American study from the National Library of Medicine. And they were studying the impact of light. And they took time to observe operating room nurses. They show up to the hospital and they make their way to the operating room. And they spend much of their day there. What was observed of them is that they are prone to depression and are anxious. And every time they need to get better, they get out of the room and just get into the light. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 9 verse 2, that the people of Israel were not only walking in darkness, they were living in a land of deep darkness. Now, it is important for you and I to understand that God had called Israel as his special people to be a light to the nations of the world. In other words, They were to be a people that enjoyed a relationship with God, that enjoyed His favor, enjoyed His blessing. He fought their battles and He brought them victory. I mean, they enjoyed the goodness of God, and that the nations around and about them would begin to look at this relationship of favor with God and would begin to desire God, and as nations bow down their knees to serve Him as their God. That was their purpose as a people. But as we read this scripture, it is a far cry from this picture of being a light to the nations. There were a people walking in darkness and living in a land of deep darkness. Now, Jeremiah helps us understand what this deep darkness was. A picture of how bad things were in Israel. I want us to go in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 17. Israel at this time have turned their backs on God. And because they turned their backs on God and didn't listen to the prophets who tried to warn them, they faced the consequences of rebellion against God. 2 Kings chapter 17. We pick it up from verse 14. Even after the prophet spoke to them, Bible says, they would not listen. Instead, they were stubborn, just like their ancestors had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected the Lord's statutes, the covenant that He had made with their ancestors, and His warnings that He gave them. They pursued meaninglessness and became meaningless themselves, as they followed the lifestyles of the nations that surrounded them, a practice that the Lord had warned them not to do. They abandoned all of the commands given by the Lord their God, crafted for themselves cast images of two calves, constructed an Asherah, worshipped all of the stars in heaven, and served Baal. They passed their sons and daughters through fire, practiced divinations, cast spells, and sold themselves to practice what the Lord considered to be evil, thereby provoking Him. As a result, the Lord was angry with Israel and removed them from His presence. No one was left except for the tribe of Judah. But Judah too did not keep the commands of the Lord their God. Instead, they lived the lifestyle that Israel had chosen. So the Lord rejected all of the descendants of Israel, afflicted them, and handed them over to the control of plunderers until He had thrown them away from His presence. He ripped them away from the heritage of David, even as the people appointed Nebat's son Jeroboam to be king. Jeroboam drove Israel away from following the Lord and made them commit great sin. The Israelites practiced all the sins that Jeroboam had practiced and never wavered from them, until the Lord removed Israel from His presence, just as He had warned through all of His prophets who served Him. And so Israel was carried off into exile from their own land into Assyria, where they remain to this day, as Jeremiah was writing. Israel, called to be a light to the nations of the world, are a people walking in darkness and living in a land of deep darkness. Spiritually, they lost their way. They turned their backs on God. They were a sinful people, a rebellious people. They rejected God's statutes and refused to listen to God's prophets. They were so far from God. Friends, do you know that at the time Jesus was born, the nation of Israel hadn't heard a prophetic word from God in 400 years? They had lost their way. And although they practiced Judaism, it was simply a set of rituals devoid of a relationship with God. Their religious leaders had lost their way. And the people had walked far from God. They were a people in deep darkness. And that spiritual chaos led to political chaos. You see, when you turn your back on God, you're opening a door to chaos. The things that we see happening are simply a reflection of where we stand with God. Politically, because of their rebellion against God, they were kicked out of their own land by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And they ended up in exile. They were kicked out of the land of promise. They were ripped away from the promise of David. They were in deep darkness. It was chaotic times. The religious leaders became political and lost their way. Do you know that at the time Jesus was born, even after Israel returned to their homeland, they were living under Roman rule. They were slaves in their own land, experiencing oppression and injustice, frustration due to poverty. They tried to revolt, but every revolt was crushed. They were hopeless. They began to cry out to God, Lord, would you come through for us? Would you come through for us? They were desperate for a Messiah. Prophecies had been written. A Messiah would come. They began to cry out to God because they were a people in deep darkness. You know, that sounds like the world we're living in today. Nations and individuals have lost their way. Sin is celebrated. Sexual immorality is being written into law. Abortion is being justified. Drug abuse has become the backbone of the economies of nations. Divorce has become the order of the day. How many more letters are we going to add? LGBTQ. We have lost our way. We are a people walking in deep darkness. Corruption is justified. And just as the world was desperate in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah, the world is still so desperate today for a Messiah. Paul writes in Romans 1:32 about the days we're living in. He says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Friends, we're a world in deep darkness. But I love God's word. Hidden in the words of Isaiah, in Isaiah 9:2, is a promise of hope. His words weren't just a description of the darkness, but there was a promise of hope. In Isaiah 9:2, once again, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You know, dawn speaks about that first sight of light in the morning. Dawn speaks about new beginnings, a season of favor, and a season of hope. God is about to do something good. Isaiah said it. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You know, as Isaiah prophesied, about the dawning of a light. He didn't say that that light was a political system. Isaiah didn't say that that light was a new religious system. Rather, Isaiah prophesied that this dawning light was a person. Later on in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 67, Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The child that Isaiah spoke about, the person that Isaiah speaks about, who would be that dawning light, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Some people think it is another political system that is going to bring light to a dark world. Some people are waiting for a new idea of life. I want to say to you, Watoto Church, I want to say to you, Uganda and the nations of the world, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. A fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9. When you read in Isaiah chapter 42 and when you read in Isaiah chapter 49, it is so clear that the servant of God that would come to bring light in the darkness is Jesus Christ, that little child whose birth we celebrate every Christmas. His birth was the dawning of hope. His birth was the dawning of light. His birth would change the world forever. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, made a bold declaration about himself. It was a fulfillment of the words that Isaiah had spoken. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of the world that the world so desperately needed in the days of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Jesus is the light of the world that we so desperately need in our world today. The question is, why did Jesus come as the light of the world? Why did Jesus come as the light of the world? And there's two key aspects that I want you to capture today. Number one, Jesus came as the light of the world to break the power of sin. See, friends, because of sin, man ended up in darkness, far from God. From Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden into the darkness. And it is still true today. So many families and individuals, cities and nations are living in deep darkness, in rebellion to God, in sin, slaves to sin, caught up in a hopeless situation from which they cannot save themselves. Because listen, friends, there is nothing no human being can do to save himself from sin. Sin is a permanent stain in our nature. We are born into sin. We're naturally inclined to sin. For us, for man, to find freedom from sin, it needed to take someone who had no sin. Someone who came from outside our sin-sick world. Someone in whom the sin nature did not reside. And only Jesus, the light of the world, carries the light that breaks the power of sin. The angel This is what he said to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. He said to him in Matthew 1:20-21, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. See, friends, Jesus wasn't conceived by natural means. His conception was a supernatural conception. He was different in man in that although he was fully man, he didn't have the sin nature in him. I love 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. Listen to what he says about Jesus. He says, you know that he appeared in visible form as a man in order to take away sins. And in him, there is absolutely no sin, for he has neither the sin nature nor has he committed sin. Jesus is perfect obedience to God. Jesus' sinless life broke the power of sin. And that's why darkness cannot handle Jesus. That is why darkness cannot overcome Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 4-5. The Bible has so much to say. It says, in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, when you turn on the light in your house, darkness is broken immediately. When you turn on the light in your house, darkness has to flee. When you turn on the darkness in your house, it pushes back darkness. In the same way, Jesus declared about himself that he came as the light of the world to set us free from the power of sin. In John 12:46, he said about himself, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Friends, when you open up your life to Jesus Christ, when you bring your life under the authority of Jesus Christ, he comes into your life as the light of the world. And he pushes back the power of darkness. He breaks the power of darkness. He destroys the power of darkness. He sets you free from drunkenness. He begins to set you free from sexual immorality. He begins to transform your mind. He begins to give you a new desire, not for the acts of darkness, but for the life that he brings us. He begins to transform the way you feel. He sets your affections on what is right. He begins to set you free. When you see someone that has surrendered their life to Jesus, believe me, the old is gone and the new has come, because Jesus, the light of the world, has shown up in their life. And I know there are many of you in this place who can testify and say, Brian, I was caught up in darkness. But thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who came and set me free. I can tell you, as an addict of pornography, I was breaking, I was falling apart. But Jesus, the light of the world, came into my life when I was 14 years old. He began to do a work in my heart. He began to take out darkness. He began to shine his light into areas of my life where I was a slave. And I tell you, friends, it is true. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Would you give him praise in the house? Jesus came as the light of the world to break the power of sin. Jesus also came as the light of the world to give us life. See, the Israelites were living way below what God had for them. Kicked out of their own land by the Assyrians and Babylonians, they're now in exile. Far from the promises of God, exposed to every attack of their enemies. Sin cuts us off from the life that God wants us to live. Jesus came as a light of the world to restore to us the life that sin steals from us. And that life has two shades to it. One, this life that Jesus gives is eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11-12. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, whose birth we celebrate. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. You see, eternal life is the life of God in us. It is that life that God gives us that will never come to an end. We receive eternal life when we turn away from a life of sin and leave it behind us and bring our lives under the authority of Christ. And eternal life is not only in the future. Yes, but eternal life starts today, right here, right now. When you surrender your life to Jesus, He pulls you out of the jaws and the grip of darkness and brings you into His marvelous light. When you surrender your life to Jesus, you inherit eternal life. He restores your relationship with God our Father. And that's why I plead with you, do not reject opportunities to surrender your life to Jesus. When we reject Jesus, our lives remain under the stronghold of sin and darkness. And when you continue on the path of darkness, your destiny one day will be an eternal separation from God in a place called hell, where the devil, his demons, and all who rejected Jesus, the light of the world, will live. Our stubbornness will cause us to miss out on an eternity in the presence and in the love of our Father through Jesus Christ. I plead with you, surrender your life to Jesus. Jesus gives us eternal life, but the other shade of the life that Jesus gives us is abundant life. Jesus declared in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Jesus comes to give us abundant life. Abundant life is that full life. It is that blessed life. Abundant life is that flourishing life that can only be found in Jesus, because in Him was the light of life. Abundant life can only be found in Jesus. Listen to me, my brother, my sister. Abundant life doesn't mean that it is a problem-free life. But it simply means that when Jesus takes charge of your life, even in the middle of darkness, you can have peace. Even in the middle of darkness, you can have joy. Even in the middle of darkness, you can find victory. You know, sometimes when we want to have light in our homes, we turn on these other gadgets that can give us some light. Maybe it is things that you may charge and then they'll give you some light. In Uganda, we have a little gadget. We call it Tadova. A Tadova is really, it's a light, it has a canister to it where you put some paraffin and then you light it and it gives light. But it is so dim. It gives you some light, but you never quite experience full light. You know, there are things in life that give us a version of abundant life but don't truly give us abundant life. Money can give you certain comforts. It can give you certain access. It can give you certain platforms and bring certain opportunities. But money will never give you abundant life. You can have money and be depressed. You can be wealthy and commit suicide. You can have fame and be very empty. You can be famous on social media and have no purpose in life. You may call yourself an influencer and you're breaking within. They offer us something, but they never give us abundant life. Only Jesus gives us abundant life. He gives us joy in the darkness, peace in the darkness, victory over darkness, and He gives us hope in the darkness. So what must we do? Two things. Receive Jesus in your life. Today he wants to set you free from the power of sin. He wants you to bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Secondly, Wadodo family, let us be the light. We live in a world of deep darkness and people are desperate for the light. You know what? In us is Jesus, the light of the world. Let's carry the culture and character of Christ into the places of our families where there is darkness, into the places in our communities, our workplaces, our universities, our hostels, and bring Jesus. Because when Jesus shows up, he begins to break the power and the influence of darkness. Yes, it may have been present for generations, but when Jesus steps into a place, darkness has no option but to flee. Jesus, in Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16 said, "You are the light of Christ to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I have this picture in my heart that when all of us begin to carry the light of Jesus into those hopeless and dark places of our family, of our community, of our universities, I'm seeing the culture and character of Christ beginning to invade schools, invade organizations, invade families, break you away from generational curses, set you and your family free, begin to change you from the inside so you can change the spaces and places where God takes you. Earlier you had Esther's life, that is one life, and God wants to do what he did for Esther in your life and through your life. And I'm telling you what, we are just about to see our families set free. We're about to see this nation set free. We're about to see the next generation set free because a light has dawned and his name is Jesus. If you believe it, shout amen. Give him a hand clap of praise in the house today. Jesus, we want to thank you so much for your word. You are the light of the world. Lord, I pray today that every life that has been under the stronghold and control of darkness because of sin, as we all surrender our lives to you today, I pray, break the power of sin in Jesus' name. Rescue your people from darkness and bring them into your light. Give them the grace to be the light of the world and to bring hope and healing where there's been darkness. With every head bowed and every eye closed, my brother, my sister, have you received Jesus as the Lord of your life? I want you to know that Jesus loves you so much. Jesus doesn't want you to remain under the power of sin and darkness. Today, Jesus wants to save you. Today, Jesus wants to set you free. Surrender your life to him. He will forgive you. He will set you free and make you a child of God today. So whether you're seated upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow here in person, you say, "Brian, today's my day. I want to receive Jesus and I want him to save me." Wherever you're seated, would you lift up your hand? And don't lift it to me, lift it to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who will save you. Receive him today and you will be saved from the power of sin and darkness. Today you become a child of God. Thank you. God bless you. Jesus sees that hand. Would you lift up your hand? You're saying, "Jesus, save me. Deliver me. set me free. Thank you. Jesus sees that hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Would you lift up your hand upstairs, downstairs? Thank you. Jesus sees those hands going out upstairs in the overflow. Would you lift up your hand to Jesus? He's the only one who saves. No one can save you. You cannot save yourself. Thank you, my brother. God richly bless you. Jesus sees that hand. Wherever you're seated, would you lift up your hand to Jesus? He is the light of the world. He's the Savior of the world. You're joining us online. You say, today, Jesus, save me. I want you to lift up an emoji of a hand. Receive him and type, I give my life to Jesus. You're joining us on air. In that room, Jesus is right there. Just lift up your hand and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Do it right now. Do it right now. Some of you here in person, you were saying, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. I'd walked away from you like Israel, but today I'm returning. I'm done with that life of darkness. I'm done with that life of sin. I want to follow you. I want to know you. Lift up your hand. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Lift up your hand. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Right over there at the back, my sister. God richly bless you. Is there anybody else? You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Jesus sees that hand. Would you lift up your hand? Come back to Jesus. He loves you. He will set you free today. Thank you. God richly bless you. Jesus sees that hand. Would you lift up your hand, not to me, to Jesus. He is the Savior. Thank you, my sister. God bless you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. God richly bless you. You're recommitting your life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God richly bless you. Online, would you lift up that hand, an emoji of a hand, say, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. I'm done. I'm done with this life of sin and rebellion. I want you, Jesus. I want to follow you with all my heart. Lift up your hand, type, I recommit my life to Jesus. On air, would you do it right now? In that room, I want you to know Jesus is right there with you. Just lift up your hand and say, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. This is the very last call. Is there anybody else? Say, Brian, today is my day. I surrender my life to Jesus. Lift up your hand. Don't be afraid. Jesus loves you. He will set you free. He will save you. Thank you. Would you keep that hand lifted up to Jesus? I want you to pray this prayer after me. I want you to mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart. Because as you pray this prayer, you're making a personal commitment to Jesus. Church, now let's all pray together. Joining our brothers and sisters as they make this commitment. Let's encourage them together as loud as we can. Saying, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I am born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,